All right, sit tight and grab a hold of something. What do you think of when you hear the word evangelism? Is it a word that you're completely comfortable with? Or is it more like a four-letter word to you? Sue grew up Presbyterian, which isn't too different today than it was back then. But she did tell me that she remembered a youth event that was out of the ordinary. They went to see David Wilkerson, who was the author of a book called The Cross and the Switchblade, and also a young crusader for Christ, think Billy Graham. At the end of the concert worship service, they began inviting people to come down to the field if they wanted to give their hearts to Jesus. Evangelism is a word I was very familiar with growing up in the Baptist church. After all, Baptists consider themselves evangelical. They are evangelicals from the word go. Words like testimony and witness were heard almost every time we gathered for fellowship or worship or anything. And God forbid that something should end without an altar call, giving people the opportunity to make their decisions. Today, however, many mainline Christians are suspicious of the whole idea of evangelism. A lot of people have been turned off by inappropriate or mean, or let's face it, just plain obnoxious forms of evangelism. Believe me, I have seen many of them. Everything from trying to scare people into faith. There were some haunted houses in Atlanta that were notorious for ending with movies of car crashes where people were seen being sent to hell because they had not claimed Jesus to be their Lord and Savior. I've been to worship service where the final hymn was, "Just as I am," and it seemed to go on for what seemed like an eternity because the leader was sure someone there needed to make that decision right then. Or to Sue being told at the age of 33 that she was not saved because she couldn't tell this door-to-door evangelist the exact day she was saved. They were sure that because her faith hadn't followed a particular formula that she couldn't possibly be a born-again Christian. So I get it. I do. Evangelism is a touchy subject for a lot of people. However, hanging out on the fringes and reaching out to the lost people of the world was a major priority for Jesus. You know, later in this same chapter of Luke, or in chapter 19 of Luke, Jesus will say, "For the Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost." This is a crucial passage of Scripture in which Jesus himself defines his mission and says that his primary mission is to save the lost, to reach out to them for the kingdom of God. And today we see clearly Jesus' intention of reaching out in this scripture reading. In this passage, Jesus is telling stories about being lost. A shepherd with 100 sheep realizes that one is missing, and so he leaves the other 99 to go and find it. I wonder about the irresponsibility of that. But when he finds it, he isn't just happy. He rejoices, and he calls together a party to rejoice with him. And that story followed immediately by the story of a woman who lost a coin and turns her house upside down to find it, followed by rejoicing. From the first to the last of his ministry, the central part of the gospel of Jesus Christ is seeking the lost. I just think sometimes that somewhere along the way we seem to have lost sight of that truth. And unfortunately today, many churches focused almost all of their attention, time, and money on the 99 sheep who aren't lost, and the 9 coins that we know where they are. And at best, they wish those outside the church good luck. In his words today and in so many other places, Jesus directly challenges us to seek the lost sheep of the world and the lost coins of our lives. So here we are, left with that uncomfortable word, evangelism. But friends, the truth is that if Christians and churches are truly following the ways of Jesus, then we have to engage in evangelism. And I believe that we can do it with integrity and love in at least three ways. Firstly, Christians, you and I, and this church can engage in lifestyle evangelism. See, the best way we can witness to our faith is to live it consistently, daily. When we live like Christ, and in case you weren't aware, the term Christian means little Christ. When we live like Christ, live lives of love and grace and compassion and integrity, and when we engage in service and social justice, we testify that we are people of faith. And if you don't think people are watching, think again. See, people see the way we live, and if they see us living an authentic, consistent life of real faith, then perhaps they can think, so if this is what Christianity looks like, then maybe I'm interested. Francis of Assisi once put it this way: preach the gospel at all times. Use words if necessary. The second way we can engage in evangelism with integrity is through relational evangelism. I'm not talking about a sales pitch or pressuring people or shoving tracts into their hands or annoying them in any other number of ways. I'm talking about finding real opportunities to share our faith within the many networks of relationships we already have. In those instances, we can naturally share our faith with people we know. It can be as simple as letting them know that our faith is important to us, that it grounds us, gives us meaning and purpose, helps us through hard times, and motivates us to serve others. And this kind of evangelism can be done naturally and authentically just within our conversations without making any demands of anyone. Relational evangelism says, look at my life and see what a difference my faith makes, and lets them decide. Relational evangelism conversations happen naturally, and they have a positive impact on the lives of the people around us. Finally, you and I can seek the lost through invitational evangelism. Simply put, this is the come and see approach. The easiest way to do this is to just invite someone to come to church for worship, or a special event, or some other occasion. It doesn't really matter. It is still the most effective form of evangelism out there. I take great risk in saying that people don't come to this church because of me, as much as you may love me. People come to this church because of you. Surveys show time and time again that 90% of people first visit a church because someone asked them to. Someone invited them to come. So take the time to think about the people you know. Perhaps they are relatives or co-workers, or people in the apartment building you live in or in your neighborhood. They are people who don't have a church home. Wouldn't it be easy just to go and invite them to come to church with you on Sunday morning? Just tell them what it means to you and invite them to come and see. That's all. Tell them about the exciting things that are going on right here at First Presbyterian Church. Friends, that's evangelism. In its purest form, evangelism is just inviting someone to join you on this journey. And it's something we can all do, and it doesn't cost anything. As a person who grew up having to to know this phrase, Jesus Christ is my personal Savior, this particular story appeals to me greatly. A man was once asked if Jesus Christ was his personal Savior, and he replied, "No, I prefer to share him with others." Friends, we have good news. Good, good news. It is too good to keep to ourselves. And so my prayer is that the Spirit will empower us to be bold in seeking the lost sheep around us. Amen.
Thanks be to God.